Sanctions on Russia are multiplying. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. The list of countries imposing economic sanctions on Russia over its aggression towards Ukraine is growing. Japan, Canada, Australia, and the UK have all announced measures. European Union member states have approved EU-wide sanctions to be announced later today. Behind many of these measures is an effort to limit Russia's access to the global financial system, but still save room for further action should things escalate. Marketplace's Nova Sappho joins you now with more. Good morning, Nova.
Good morning.
So we now have the European Union, several others imposing sanctions in addition to the U.S. What do we know about what those sanctions would do?
So they're mostly targeting smaller Russian banks, political elites like members of the parliament, several billionaire oligarchs who are within President Vladimir Putin's orbit. The European Union is planning to ban investors from trading in Russian government bonds. The goal there is to affect the government's ability to finance its military aggression. Japan took similar action. It's also banning trade with the two rebel regions of Ukraine, which Russia says are now independent states.
So far today, markets appear to be calculating these sanctions will have limited economic effect, at least for now. Why is that?
Well, Russia's biggest banks have mostly been spared, at least for now. Targeting them would have more impact. Also, the attempt to target Russia's foreign debt, that's going to have limited impact because Russia doesn't have as much foreign debt as it used to. So will Russia, for example, retaliate by cutting off fossil fuel exports? Perhaps not. One ominous sign of things that could come, Sabri, is from Australia's government, which also imposed sanctions. It's warning businesses there to be prepared for retaliatory cyber attacks.
What's left in the bucket of sanctions options?
Well, they definitely can get more severe. For example, cutting off Russian banks' ability to clear international payments, to access a global bank messaging system called SWIFT, those things would be more disruptive.
All right. Marketplace's Nova Sappho, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Germany is withholding its approval of the Nord Stream 2 pipeline. That's a major conduit for moving natural gas from Russia to Germany and then Europe. The move could complicate Europe's long-term energy plans. Marketplace's Justin Ho reports.
Europe is trying to transition away from coal and crude oil, and it already relies on Russian natural gas to supplement its wind and solar power.
Russian gas is the cheapest and most available supply.
Sarah Vekshuri runs SVB Energy International. She says Europe could buy more liquefied natural gas from Qatar or the U.S., but LNG comes with shipping costs, liquefaction costs.
The whole process is more costly than just exporting the natural gas from Russia to Europe in pipeline.
Europe has been importing more LNG anyway, but there's only so much it can take in, says Matt Smith at the data and analytics company Kepler.
Last month, we saw capacity in Europe hitting up against 100% there, so they couldn't pull in any more LNG than they already are.
Regardless of what happens with the Nord Stream 2 pipeline, Smith says natural gas prices in Europe are likely to stay elevated throughout the year. I'm Justin Ho for Marketplace.
All right, let's see how markets are reacting to all of this. Let's do the numbers. Yesterday, the S&P headed into correction territory, down 10% from the last peak in January. This morning, the FTSE in London is up 0.3%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all up in the 0.5% to 1% range, with the Dow future up 171 points. The 10-year Treasury yield is at 1.972%. And some more numbers for you. Russia's billionaires have lost a combined $32 billion since the start of this year. That number was calculated by Bloomberg. The fortunes of Russia's wealthiest citizens are tied to ownership stakes in massive commodities firms, and they've lost, in some cases, a third of their wealth due to market volatility. Several are also the targets of U.S. and European sanctions.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI?
Don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
When schools closed at the beginning of the pandemic, some families turned to a workaround known as learning pods. They would get a group of kids, find an instructor, sometimes a parent, sometimes a former teacher, and bring them all together. Many of those students have since returned to school in person, but a new report from an education reform group finds that what started as a workaround has become a business opportunity. Marketplace's Stephanie Hughes has more.
Pamela Petty was a professor who taught teachers. So during the pandemic, when her grandkids were in school virtually, she just offered to teach them herself. But she thought they might get lonely.
I thought about that and I thought, we'll get through the days. I know how to teach, but none of us are going to be having any fun.
So Petty got a group of kids together in Carthage, Tennessee, where she lives. She enlisted a few other grandmothers to help and was able to personalize lessons and teach at each kid's pace. She taught history with music, like the song The Battle of New Orleans.
In 1814, we took a little trip along with Colonel Jackson down the mighty Mississippi. We took a little
what I've wanted my grandchildren to think of when they think of this pandemic is what a great time they got to have at Grandmama's school.
Petty was one of the people interviewed for the new report on learning pods from the Center on Reinventing Public Education. Jennifer Poon is one of the authors. She says many of the families who formed pods preferred them over traditional schools.
Pods were able to provide opportunity for more intimate relationships between the students and the teachers, between students and peers.
The report isn't representative of the American population. It only includes people who participated in pods, and they tend to be a lot wealthier than the average American. Nearly half of households in the survey had annual incomes over $125,000. And in some cases, instructors could afford to volunteer their time. Pamela Petty in Tennessee, for example. Still, entrepreneur Amar Kumar sees an opportunity in pods. He launched a startup called KiPod Learning to bring together families interested in them.
Right now, it's all DIY. Parents have to find the other families themselves. We think there's a real need here to help parents join pods, you know, set them up for them.
Because learning pods are so new, there's no data to show whether they're as effective as traditional schools. And now that many students have returned, it might be hard to find out. I'm Stephanie Hughes for Marketplace.
And I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI?
Don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.